Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B. Job pleads innocence. The rich man in Mark's gospel pleads fidelity to the law of Moses, and the author of Hebrews pleads for disciples to hold fast to their confession that Jesus is Lord. How do we plead? Guilty of possession of multiple intelligence illustrations for all three texts with the intent to distribute.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. Okay, so we are going to try doing three texts this week after a long stretch of doing one. So we'll be getting right back into it. We also want to talk to you sooner or later about some ideas we have about changing the format for the show a little bit, and nothing radical, but we'll still be covering all the intelligences and the texts and such, just in a little different way. We'll tell you about that a little bit more in weeks coming up, but for today, we're going to tackle all three of the texts. So, enough of this chit-chat, let's get to it. The Old Testament lesson for Year B, Ordinary 28, is Job 23, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 16 and 17. You can throw in the extra verses in the middle if you want. There's some interesting stuff in there. And we actually had a couple of comments about some of the things you find there. But basically, I mean, you can just stick your finger anywhere in Job and come up with pretty much the same thing for the first 40 chapters.
Pretty much. I'm innocent of this.
I'm innocent, and I want to talk to God. Is there somebody I could talk to? Can I talk to your manager? Right, and that's kind of what's going on here. He's going on that he's innocent, and he wants to plead his case before God, sure that God will not be mad, but will listen to him and mm-hmm. give him justice, even though at the end of the passage here, he says that he is terrified of God, and with fair reason. So there are some literary connections, actually, between the section that got cut out, the verses 10 through 15. There are some connections here with the Mark passage for this week, Mark 10, with the rich man coming to Jesus, where in this passage, Job is saying, hey, I've kept all the commandments and have not turned aside from them, just as the rich man protests to Jesus that he has kept the commandments from his youth. So you might be able to make some connection with that. So that's what we're looking at for this passage. So we have for you Math Smart, both illustration and special effects, both also for Body Smart. We have a Music Smart illustration, both for Nature Smart and a Self Smart illustration.
Alrighty, well, we're looking at part of that elided part that David referred to earlier, the part that the lectionary committee didn't keep in verse 10, where Job is confident of his innocence, that God will vindicate him. So I went looking for pleading innocent in a court of law here in the United States, and came across an article at the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers website about a paper that was presented this past July saying that in the United States, more people are now pleading guilty to charges against them in order to avoid the greater risk of harsher sentencing if their case goes to trial and is lost. We have a quote from the webpage saying that the trial penalty refers to the substantial difference between the sentences offered in a plea or the sentence that a defendant receives after trial. Apparently, it is such a diverse amount of time that most people are just saying, fine, I'll plead guilty and I'll get a lesser sentence, even if they're not.
Wow.
Yeah. So, in this particular verse, in verse 10, Job is going to push his Sixth Amendment rights to a right to a trial all the way. He's not going to plead guilty, even though he is innocent. So that's an illustration. So for special effect, put Job in a modern American courtroom and present him with this dilemma. Have him say to him, either plead guilty and get a less punitive sentence or stand firm for a trial and potentially face harsher penalties. His contemporaries are already urging this. They're saying to him, curse God and die. And Job is, nope, not going to do it. There's some people smart elements here for the element of drama if you choose to go that way.
In body smart, we're looking at verse 16 to start with, and the Hebrew here is bahal, which means to terrify, and it's a pretty old word, obviously. You know,
but, being ancient Hebrew.
But even from the biblical Hebrew, and it means to tremble inwardly. That gut-wrenching kind of, or gut-dropping tremor. Right? Job's inability to perceive God's presence is making him agitated, but really terrified here. The sensation is like when you can't find your child in a crowd, that panic that sets in, right? So you might compare that to something of lesser degree, like when you can't find the thing that you just had in your hand a minute ago, where to go? It's not that. It's, oh my God, where's my baby?
Right.
Where is God, though, is what Job is experiencing here. Mm-hmm. So we put that in body because the word carries that physical sense, but you could also put it with self for the emotional load there. Then going to verse 4 for a special effect where Job says, I would fill my mouth with arguments. So come up with a list of arguments that Job might have to put to God about his innocence. And then as you read them off during the sermon, have a pile of marshmallows. Stuff a marshmallow in your mouth for each one of those arguments until you can't say anything else. Because as we'll find through Job, his arguments come to nothing. So you would want to have something into which you could deposit the used marshmallows so you can continue the sermon. But there you go.
For a Music Smart illustration, I came across a poem, or a play, actually, a short play by Robert Frost called A Mask of Reason. It is what he called the 43rd chapter to the book of Job. It's kind of long, but if you follow the link that I have, or that we have at the show notes at www.morethanhearing.org, you'll find a section that has been cut out of that might be appropriate for use. You could either act it out or use it maybe as a basis for a prayer, for the prayers of the people for the day. For Nature Smart, for an illustration, we're back to verse 10. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. And at the Encyclopedia Britannica, I found a rather long narrative explanation of gold processing, wherein heat and chemicals are applied to gold ore that smelt them. And Job is sure that he is going to come through a smelting process and be prized just like gold. For a special effect, I have a link to a blog post about assaying gold, a variety of ways of doing it. There's a lot of information there. But for another special effect, you could try this. Bring in the equipment that you need to refine gold. And if you can't find all of the chemicals and things, well, then bring in a charcoal grill and smelt an ice cube that already has something gold frozen in it while you talk about Job's process of being refined by God.
So you would need to prepare that ice cube ahead of time.
Yes, stick something in an ice cube, right.
Okay. I like that idea. For self-smart, looking at verse 6, where Job says, he would give heed to me. Job is aware here of God's majesty and power, but is still confident that his own innocence would get him an audience with God. Mm-hmm. And this reminded Molly in particular of a time when she
testified in traffic court,
right.
Mm-hmm. And I stuck to my guns, and I'm not sure, but I may have gotten the case dismissed.
And it wasn't against her.
No, it was against somebody else.
Yeah. But the confidence of that testimony that you had is what we're looking here for.
Right.
As a comparison with Job. Then in verses 8 and 9, Job complains that he can't find God, that no matter where he looks, if he goes forward, he can't find him, backward, can't find him, he's not to the left, he's not to the right. And so perhaps Job can't find God out there because God is in his middle.
Mm.
And this comes from the Center for Action and Contemplation. We mentioned them last week. Mm-hmm. This is Father Richard Rohr's organization. And in today's, as we're recording this, today's reflection that he sends out by email, the discussion is just about that question, is why can't I find God? And he quotes somebody who suggests it's because God is too close to be seen in the usual sense, and that you have to go inside in order to make the connection instead of looking outside. So we have a link to that meditation for you at the Center for Action and Contemplation website. There's also some iSmart elements to that for Job's looking around, and also for the inward eye that you would need and the inward sense of space that is suggested in the reflection.
All right, let's go on. The epistle lesson for Year B, Ordinary 28, is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. And I kind of wonder if maybe the author of Hebrews might not have had Job in mind as writing this particular one, because there is mention in verse 12 that God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. So this is an early argument in the letter to the Hebrews for the faithful to hold on. Don't turn back from what has been delivered by the apostles and the saints, but to continue to hold on fast to the fact that Jesus is Lord and he is the great high priest who has passed through the heavens. So, we haven't done an epistle lesson in rather a long time, but we are glad to know that we have not lost that edge. And we have four of the intelligences that we would like to share some illustrations and special effects with you. We have both an illustration and special effect for iSmart, an illustration in BodySmart, both for people, and an illustration in SelfSmart. So, here we go.
Okay, for iSmart, looking at verse 12 and the idea of the sword, then we've got a couple ideas of what it might have been that the author was speaking of, and we've got a link for you to a website that gives some lovely descriptions with nice pictures of quite a few different sorts of swords. We're thinking that perhaps it's a gladius sword that is top of the list, which would have been a standard Roman army kind of sword. It's
kind of that broad and it's sort of blunt. It's,
yeah. Yeah. About 28 inches, mm-hmm. so half a meter long and double-edged. Mm-hmm. Sword. So it could be that, or it could be the Halady, or perhaps Halady sword, which is more like a Darth Maul lightsaber with two blades,
right.
and a center handle.
It makes me think of Klingons, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that, too. So might be one or the other of those swords. So take a look at those. If you know somebody who is a sword enthusiast, then perhaps you can have them bring in a sword, as long as everyone's being very careful with it.
Yes.
Similarly, you might go for a special effect of pressing on with that verse where it talks about dividing, in particular, joints from marrow. And bring in a sharp chef's knife or a boning knife and some chicken leg quarters, maybe, and go ahead and separate some joints, cut the thigh from the leg. And
I'm just thinking of all the vegans and vegetarians in the congregation. Yeah, well,
you know your crowd. Know your crowd.
I mean, I'd be sitting there going, dang, I'm hungry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You could also go ahead and cut the meat from the bone while you're talking. Yeah, whatever. So that would be your special effect. Also has obviously some body overtones there.
Poor chicken.
Yeah.
Speaking of body, we're looking at verse 13, where the author says that no creature is hidden and all are naked and laid bare, which made me think of some illustrations in Body Smart of being naked and laid bare. There's some real vulnerability that's suggested here. And so the first thing I thought of was a body that has been prepared for surgery. It's not, you know, wide open naked, but definitely the part that's going to be exposed is open to being viewed, or a body being prepared for burial. You know, the clothes removed and putting clothes on, bathing the body, or an infant having its diaper changed, or a person getting into or out of the shower for a while there. You're naked and laid bare and are vulnerable. A person with limited mobility needing help getting in and out of a bathtub. There's some vulnerability there.
A lot
of it. Or lovers revealing themselves to one another.
So a little more positive image.
Yes, yes, definitely.
For People Smart, it refers to Jesus as the great high priest. And we know the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed around 70 AD. It's believed this letter was before that, maybe 5 or 6 years before
that. Yeah, there's a reference to Timothy getting out of jail. And so scholars are saying, oh, well, that happened about 65. So
there you go. So then there would still be a living high priest in Jerusalem, and they would have known all about how that was supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is referred to as that high priest. We, of course, don't have high priests for the most part in Western culture anymore, but we do have mediators, and we have in our culture, lawyers and agents and advocates who stand up for your legal rights or financial rights or what have you. And that would be a fair illustration, perhaps, of the role of the high priest. For special effect, then, you could invite a probate lawyer or a child advocate, perhaps, to come in and talk about the sort of work that they do in representing other people's interests.
That's good. And for self-smart, we're going back to verse 13, being naked and laid bare. And in terms of self-smart, here the verse speaks of one's inner spirit or being seen by God. David thinks that we've got a good illustration here of that dream that sometimes you have where you go to work or school and suddenly discovered you're naked or just in your underwear.
depending on how modest your soul is, I guess.
That could be horrifying. For me, it was always trying to find a bathroom.
Well, yes.
Yeah, there's that one too.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, there's the only bathroom available has no walls.
Right, yeah. And all these people walking through.
Walking around, like, yeah.
Do you mind?
Well, you know, after a while, having had young children and animals burst in on me in the bathroom, I got over that.
I think we've talked about that before.
I think we have too.
All right, let's go on. And the gospel lesson for year B, Ordinary 28, is Mark 10, verses 17 to 31. It is one of the classic stories that...
It's always used around stewardship
always
time.
Always used around stewardship time. So, and we're getting into that time of year around here. It is the rich man who comes to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus deflects his calling him good teacher, but then goes on to say, "You know the commandments," lists a bunch of commandments, and the guy says, I've done that, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and says, "You lack one thing, go and sell what you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And Brooke can't handle it. So he is sad and goes away grieving, which just shocks everybody when Jesus says then how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. At the end, we tack on the part that nobody likes, which is that... Even if you have given up all these things, houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, fields, for the sake of the gospel, you'll get them back plus persecution in this life. Hey, yeah.
What a deal.
And eternal life in the age to come. So, all right, well, let's take a look at what we've got here. We've got Word Smart, both illustration and special effect. We have iSmart Illustration, MathSmart Illustration, and both for NatureSmart. So, Molly, if you would be so good.
Okay, well, we're going to start in verse 17, where we have what might be a paralipsis, which is a short statement about what you won't be talking about. It is an emphasis by obvious omission. So in verse 17, Jesus names six of the Ten Commandments, kinda, and the command not to defraud is found in Deuteronomy, but not in the Big Ten. What it replaces is do not covet, which seems to be what trips the rich man up, maybe. So go to the link that we have at the show notes under the gospel selection and look for the Word Smart link. We have one there for a paralipsis. You can go see some other examples of what that is. But for a special effect to demonstrate what that might be, try this. Go through the first few letters of the alphabet, naming people in your congregation who are sitting right there. But skip a letter. And see the reaction you get. So, for example, you have letter A is for Anne, who's over there. B is for Bob. C is for Carol. E is for Emily.
Hey, wait. D. You forgot D.
Right.
I'm right here.
Right. So the one who gets missed will say, "Hey," or actually say something. So this may be what Jesus was doing with the commandments by skipping over something, by not mentioning them.
Yeah, because that coveting what's your neighbor's thing, you know, once Jesus says, sell what you have and give it to the poor, then...
That's it. We're done.
But it's not theirs. I want it. So, all right. Well, for iSmart, looking at verse 23, where it says Jesus looked around, and at verse 27, where it says he looked at them, we have two different words in the Greek. We have parablepomai for looking around, which is sort of taking in the whole landscape, and emblepo, which is to look at, which would give a little more, a closer observation. Mm-hmm. The taking in the entire landscape, and we have a link for you to...
a lot of Google images of landscapes. Very pretty.
And you can... give your folks a sense of landscape that way. And that's maybe the first part is looking at what's in front of you, the whole valley floor after hiking up a mountain trail. And then, for example, then for verse 27, he looked at them, seeing clearly, be an example maybe of shining a light on a particular place in an operating room or under the cabinet or looking for that thing that you dropped, maybe taking time to put on your glasses to actually read a thing, right? For those of us of a certain age. Right? So it's sort of like a zoom lens on mm-hmm. a camera. Use the wide angle to get the whole valley or the telephoto to look at that hawk on top of the tree over there.
Yep.
Going on to Math Smart, Jesus refers to the challenge of the rich getting into the kingdom being like a camel passing through the eye of the needle, that would be easier. So for Math Smart, calculate the size of the eye of a needle. My rough estimation is that it's about 8 millimeters by 1, or maybe 6 millimeters by 1 1/4.
Depending on the size of the needle.
Depending on the needle, right. Mm-hmm. So somewhere around 8 square millimeters. Which works out to be 0.0124 square inches.
That's not much.
Not very big. Mm-hmm. And to continue with your numbers, a dromedary is about 1.8 meters or 6 feet at the shoulder. So there you go.
Camel's going, you want me to do what? We're going where?
Say what now?
I don't think so. Mm. Patootie.
Be careful, they spit.
So for Nature Smart, we are going to look at verse 22 and the young man going away sorrowful. In Greek, the word is stugnazo, if I'm pronouncing that properly, stugnazo, or sad. Literally, clouded up, which got me to thinking about clouds. The man's reaction to Jesus' instructions was like clouds moving over the sky, moving over the sun, or like David thinking about going out to look at the night sky and bringing clouds in immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. Say the word telescope.
Yeah. It's clouding up right now, as a matter of fact. No, actually, it's not. It is clouding up, but not because we said telescope. Anyway.
Oh, says you.
So maybe the man's possessions were like water molecules. His were simply moving too slow and were clouding him up. And maybe it's because his spirit or his heart were too cool. If Jesus had warmed him up, had heated him up, maybe his possessions would become like warmer water molecules and evaporate. Hmm. And he would not have that as an issue anymore. So maybe it was an issue of him being too hot or too cold. Or too cool to be on fire for Jesus. There you go. There we go. All right.
So temperature definitely has something to do with the
condensation
and the creation of clouds. And so we have a link for you that talks about cloud formation. And depending on the speed of the water molecules here, you'll have either evaporation, where the molecules are moving faster, or condensation, where they move slower. So you can take a look at that link and consider those sorts of things. We also have a few links for you
for special effect.
To some videos that have an experiment that you could try of how to create a cloud in a jar.
Cool.
And so you take some hot water, swirl it in your canning jar, basically. Mm-hmm. Put some ice on the lid on top, mm-hmm. let it sit for a little bit, and then spray in some particulates. So some hairspray or something, aerosol.
Okay.
And close it up. And those little particles are where the water droplets condense to create the cloud. Otherwise, you just have vapor. And so then you get cloud.
Oh, fun.
Huh. So That's one of the ways that you can do it. And then the
very simple way is just putting a glass full of ice out and letting it condense and run down. I mean, that's condensation. Well, but that's not right. making a
that's
cloud.
Not a cloud.
Okay.
Right.
But that's one of the steps in doing this is to get glass cold.
Okay. Well, you get the temperature gradient. Because you have hot water at the bottom and ice at the top.
Oh, sure, sure. Okay, so you're making a little miniature atmosphere right there.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. Right.
Awesome.
The other video is of a fellow during winter who took a pot of boiling water, threw it in the air outside where it was about -8 degrees, just turns into a cloud.
Yeah. People were doing that in the northern climes over the winter, I think. That's one of the things that people take video of. It's so cold we can freeze boiling water.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing. Or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you liked even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production. For today, what? For today.